The preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church as we know it is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on, 'cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching, and singers, go sing, and laymen, keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul.
Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Amen. God's still in the saving business. Amen. He's open for business tonight. You want to come? Amen. All right. It's good to have with us Pastor Tal. I hate to see, this is the last day, I hate to see them leave. You know, they just got here, it seems like, and they're already headed back to North Carolina. And we'll certainly miss them, amen? And hopefully they'll miss us too, amen? But you pray for him, pray for his church, amen? And you pray for their flight home, amen? Amen. All right. Appreciate Brother Crump and the way he stands on this book and he preaches this book. And it's hard to find people like that nowadays that, you know, a lot of them, you know, they get to where people want them for revival meetings and everything else, and it seems to go to their head. But I can tell you he's a humble man of God who loves the Lord and spends time with him, and he's an inspiration to me. Amen. I believe the world likes to have, you know, heroes, and they look at heroes the wrong way. They look at, you know, a lot of times people idolize sports heroes and stuff like that. But you know what, us Christians, we should have heroes of the faith. Amen. People that stand on this book. You know, I'm sure, knowing him, that he's had probably other offers from other churches, maybe even more money. But you know what? He knows he's going to stick where God puts him, and he's going to stay in a place where God keeps him until God moves him, if he moves him. And I appreciate that. I appreciate a man of God that will stand and preach the word. Brother, you come and preach to our hearts.
There's always an element of sadness, seems like, when you come to the end of a meeting, especially when you've been among your kin folks and folks you've come to love down through the years in these churches. And there's always that sadness, but my heart's where God put it, and that's in Kaser, North Carolina. Besides that, I have a cat there that I'm dying to see. He's helped me with my messages before, that cat has. You say, "Preacher, have you lost it?" No. I'm going to tell you this, and then we'll get into it. I was working on a message, and I should have known with all the time I'd spent and the labor of my mind that it wasn't of the Lord. When man puts that much into it, it's usually not God. We're to study, but when the Lord gives you His will, He gives it. And I had worked all day on Friday on the message, and I really liked the thought. I thought it was a good thought. But anyway, I worked all day Friday and then on Saturday. But I was having a problem with my very last point, or sub-point, I should say. I was really having a problem, and I couldn't seem to get it in my mind like I wanted to state it. And I spent a good while on that. And it was about 2 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I finally got it in my mind the way I wanted to say it. And I turned around to look a word up in the dictionary. And when I did, that cat of mine, he lays on my desk while I'm studying, he just plopped down on the keyboard. And when he did that, everything went away. I mean, everything. And that just, you know, it's already 2 o'clock in the morning, and that was unusual for me. And I just went to pieces. I mean, I didn't know what to do. And I'm not much on computers. I don't even go online. I just know how to open it and do my outlines and store them. So I went and got Kathy up. She's the expert on computers. And I said, come here and get this back for me. And I told her what happened. She came and she applied every bit of wisdom she had concerning that particular thing. And it would not come back. I had saved it, and then I had saved it as I went along. But it wasn't anywhere to be found. And so she tried about 15, 20 minutes. She went back to bed, nothing to do. I sat there and I cried a while because I was so mentally exhausted and realizing I was going to have to start over. And then I said, well, there's nothing to do but just start over. But when I started to start over, I couldn't even think of the title, much less anything, nothing. My mind was completely gone, or God had taken it completely from me. And so I cried a while. I got mad to Cat and threw him out of the study. But I eventually let him back in. But after I had cried a while, and it was getting up about 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I realized all of a sudden that wasn't God's will. And I said, well, Lord, if that wasn't your will and you have prevented me this way, then what is your will? And I picked up a notebook that I keep, jot down things in and Bible scriptures. And I opened that up. And it fell on a particular scripture. And I'm telling you the truth. Within 10 minutes, I had the message and had the notes down on paper. I didn't print it then, but I had the notes down on paper and was ready to go to bed. That's how God works. I told my folks the next day, I said, you have this message. And if you enjoy it, thank my cat. Because God used my cat to take that away. I want to be honest with God, don't you? And if I'm going in a direction He doesn't want me to go, I want Him to change it and help me to know His will. And He knows my heart, and He did that night. And that's all well and good, because I've used that message in a lot of places since then. But I'm not using that tonight. All right, let's open our Bibles to Joshua 14, and while you're finding that, I do appreciate everything you've done. I do covet your prayers as we go our way. I don't like flying, but I guess we'll fly if the Lord allows it. And I just don't like crawling into a tin barrel with wings on it. And that's what it looks like to me when you get on an airplane. It looks like you're crawling in a barrel, and out there are some wings. But anyway, may the Lord get us home if it'll please Him. And we'll remember you. We won't forget you. I mean, we hadn't forgotten from the last time we were here. Kathy and I often mention something that happened here or some of the people who were here and things of that nature, because you're dear to our heart in a special way. And I do mean that. But here in chapter 14 of the book of Joshua, let's begin reading with verse number 6. Now, you remember they're in the land of Canaan. And you remember that Joshua and Caleb were the two men who brought back a good report when 40 years earlier they sent in spies to spy out the land. 10 of them came back with that defeatist attitude. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, and so God said all the rest of them are going to die in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb can go in. Well, they did go in, and they had, taken care of the enemy there, and things were settling down, and the land was being divided up. And here we have the words of Caleb, or soon we'll have, but says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart.'" What about that? "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now I want you to notice that. That's Caleb himself saying that about himself. "But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, 'Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Now it's Moses saying this about Caleb. Caleb said it about himself. Now it's Moses saying it about Caleb. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." There it is again. Caleb said it about himself, and it was the truth. And it's wonderful if a person can say, "I have wholly, I have completely, entirely followed the Lord." But then it's a little more wonderful when somebody else can say it about you, as Moses said it about Caleb. But then even more so, it's very special if God can say, as he did about Caleb, because these are the words of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Thou hast wholly followed the Lord." And that's the greatest thing. If in God's sight that can be said, I hope that I can say that about myself. I certainly try to wholly follow the Lord. I hope that others can say that. It means more if others say it. But then if God can pass that praise on, or not praise, but that word about me, that I have wholly followed the Lord, wouldn't that be wonderful? And we're going to stand before him one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, if you would turn over one chapter, chapter number 15 and verse number 18, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as she came unto him," now this is Caleb's daughter, and Caleb has taken that land. It says, "And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father," that is her husband, "to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, 'What wouldest thou?' Who answered, 'Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water.' And he gave her the upper springs and the nether spring." I want to speak to you for just a few minutes tonight upon the subject of finishing well. Now, it's my desire, and I hope the desire of every Christian, to finish well. I don't want to end my earthly pilgrimage sitting on the stool of do-nothing. I don't want my last years or days to be spent simply glorying in a past and something God did 30 or 40 years ago in my life. I want a present and powerful relationship and fellowship to fill all my days. I don't know if any of you watch any NASCAR racing or any type of racing, but I don't want to spin out on the last lap, do you? No, I want to be standing when that day, when that hour comes, I want to be standing for the Lord and wholly following Him. Not all Christians finish well. Some make shipwreck of the faith, and others simply fade away. There are some that really made a mark for the Lord, but for the last 20, 30 years of their life, you hear nothing of them. They've just, you know, as I said, faded away. I don't want to do that. But in Caleb, we see what it means to finish well. And so tonight I want us to look at some of the marks of this man who finished so well. Things that should mark us in our final days or in these final days that we're living in. First of all, Caleb was marked by an unwavering faith. Marked by an unwavering faith. And this issued, first of all, from his perception of God. Your faith, the strength of your faith is determined by what you know about God or how you perceive the God of glory. Caleb was one of the 12 spies sent into the land to spy it out some 40 years earlier. He was one of the only two of the 12 who believed God. And he stated, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. And then just a moment later, he said, the Lord is with us, fear them not. Now, this was not the majority report, because most of them saw great giants and a small god. On the other hand, Caleb saw a great god and small giants. Makes all the difference in the world as to whether you stand or not. It's according to your perception of God. This, as I said, was not the way most of them felt. But Caleb was convinced that God was delighted in him. Now, think about that, because their perception of God is received in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. What we know of God, we know as we look at Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, if you want to know about God, what He's like, then study the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's through Him that you come to know God. There is no other way, no other avenue, according to what the book of Hebrews said, and it is the divinely inspired Word of God. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. There's none other. So if you want to know God, you've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you know about Him, the greater your perception will be of God. And of course, the greater your perception, then the stronger will be your faith. If you're going to stand in these last days, if you're not going to fade away, if you're going to have that stalwart walk with God, then you'll have to know Him and perceive a great God. And then again, I believe this unwavering faith is illustrated in his purpose of heart. As a result of Caleb's good report, God said, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. What about that? He had another heart in him. Wasn't like those other 10 spies or the rest of Israel. This man had another kind of spirit with him. Caleb was much like his ancestor Abraham. And God said of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's exactly what Caleb was doing. He said, God said we could have Canaan. He promised it unto Abraham our father. He renewed that covenant with us and made a covenant with us. It's our land. God said we could have it. He'll help us to drive out the enemy. All is ours. That's the way this man looked at it. And he purposed his heart that this was his land because God had given it. Now what about that? Through all the murmuring and unbelief in Israel, and you know that it cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, but through all of that, Caleb kept a fixed purpose to wholly follow the Lord. I don't believe Caleb went around murmuring in those 40 years. He realized it was chastisement and the judgment of God upon Israel. And he had to wander 40 years just like the rest of them, though he was not guilty. And yet, in all of those years, he said, I'm just going to follow God. I'm going to do what God would have me to do. When the others wanted to return to Egypt, longing for its leeks and garlic, Caleb saw nothing but Canaan, and because of that purpose of heart, Caleb finished well. You cannot have an unwavering faith without purpose of heart. If you go with the flow, then you're not going to have an unwavering faith. No. And if you're in and out and up and down, and let me tell you this. Your emotional being, or your emotions, are just as much a part of your Christian life as anything else. God needs to control that like all things. You see, we live to a great extent by our emotions. We do things a lot of times because we feel like them. Some things that ought to be done, if we don't feel like it, we don't do it. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm just talking about that inward spirit within us that has a great effect upon our emotions. Listen, we're to live with the Word of God and purpose in our heart to follow God, whether we feel like it or not. Old man of God who's in glory now, back our way, Brother Wade Huntley, I heard him say one time, pray whether you feel like it or not. Amen. We ought to purpose in our heart to go to church whether we feel like it or not. And I'm not talking about sickness that would necessarily keep us home. I'm talking about the fact sometimes I just don't feel like it. If I've been up and, Saturday night late, and I get up early on Sunday morning, I don't feel like going to church, but I go anyway. Why? Because years ago I gave my life to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'll follow you. I no matter how I feel about it, I'll follow you and do the will of God. Sometimes He lays messages on my heart that I don't particularly care to preach. I mean, I want to preach them because it's God's message, but I know what it's going to do to some folks when I do preach it. And so therefore, there's that natural part of us just doesn't like to do that. But this man purposed in his heart and trusted God, believed in God. This man finished well because he had an unwavering faith. Secondly, Caleb was marked by an undiminished force. Did you catch verse number 11? Here this man is, and I figure he's around 100 years old, something like that. He's an elderly man. He says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. What was the source of his strength? Well, it's simply the very power of God. You say, well, this was just physical force in this man. Well, where do you think physical force comes from? Why do some people live to be 100? And, some men are like George Burns. They live to be 100 years old, smoked all their life. Other people can smoke and die of cancer at 35. You know, where is the force? Where is the force of the physical life? It all lies in God. Every bit of it. And so whether you want to count it as spiritual or as physical force on the part of Caleb, it doesn't matter. It was by the power of God. Human energy alone would not suffice for the trials this man endured. And yet after all the years, he was still ready to dispel the enemy. I want you to make the spiritual application of that, if you would. Caleb was a living example of Paul's statement. Though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Isn't that wonderful to know? This outward man is perishing. I feel that a whole lot more than I did 5 years ago. And some days I'm well aware that the outward man is perishing more than other days. But yet I thank God that inward man, that new man in Christ, is refreshed day by day if we want him. If we want God to renew that. Again, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul finished well. Will that be our testimony? Only if we have been tapping into divine strength day by day. Listen to me. There are too many enemies that we're going to have that divine energy if we're going to finish well. Too many things against us in these days. But don't look at that until you're discouraged. Just realize that God can renew that strength every day. Isaiah chapter 40 makes us very aware of that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. That's exactly what happened out of this man Caleb. Brother, he endured all of that and was still able to deal with the enemy in his last days. I've seen people fall to the enemy toward the end of their life. You know when David messed up? It wasn't when he was a young man, when all the strength of those youthful passions were upon him. No, it's when he was an older man that he messed up with Bathsheba. Listen, there's enemies all along the way, but I'm glad there's strength for every day. He said in closing out of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses told them what God had to say to them just before he died. And he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. If you want it, God has it. And the in-living Christ can stand up and defeat every enemy that we might face as we go through this world. Think about it. But then there's the success through his strength. And that's complete victory. In Joshua 15, we learn that of all the people who received an inheritance in Canaan, Caleb was the only one who succeeded, as far as the word records, in driving out the enemy completely. You read those stories in Joshua, and so-and-so drove out these and this. However, they could not drive out these. And that's the story over and over. But brother, when Caleb lit a shuck and went up Mount Hebron, he drove out the enemy completely. It was his. Think about that. He wholly followed the Lord. Our failure a lot of time to drive out the enemy is usually failure had to completely give our lives to the Lord and follow him. Because when we do that, we have the strength of the Lord with us. And I hope at the end of our days, we will have driven out the enemy through the power of God. Do you have something that has a stronghold in your life tonight? Well, let me ask you a question. Would you want to finish the journey like that? I know if you're a Christian, just say, no, preacher. I don't want to finish the journey with this. Preacher, it's just this one thing. It's my shortcoming. It's the sin that does so easily beset me. It's a terror to me at times. I'm ashamed. I don't tell folks about this. Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to finish well? Then you can put your faith in God, trust Him, look at what He is in the Word of God, and rely day by day. Ask Him to renew your strength day by day. Ask Him to renew that inward man. Listen, He stated that. He wants to do that. You're His child. He loves you. And besides that, not only is it you that wants to finish well, but God desires that you finish well. Thirdly, notice Caleb was marked by an unfailing fruitfulness. I want you to think about the surplus of his fruitfulness. And if you would, if you still have your Bible open, it doesn't matter, I'm going to read it. But over in chapter 15, we read those two verses. And it came to pass as she came to him, that's his daughter, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs, the surplus of his fruitfulness. Even in his old age, Caleb was still able to give a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? Now Caleb gained that whole mountain, drove out the enemy, gained that whole mountain. He didn't have to give any of it away, but why do we gain things? Why do we gain territory? Why do we make progress in the Christian life? It's not just so we'll look good in the eyes of people. It's so we can be a blessing unto other people. I want to finish my days, Lord willing, and that might be physically. I might be out of my mind physically. I might have a stroke and not be able to speak for years. And we understand. But apart from those things, if I'm still on my feet, if I still have a sane mind, I want my life to bless others when I come down to the end of the road. Amen. I know you do if you're a child of God. I want my blessing to overflow to other people. He said, she said, give me, said, you gave me a spring in the south. He said, but it's sort of dry down there. I'd like to have an upper spring. So he gave her both of them. That's for sure. And what was going to happen at that upper spring? It was going to overflow and hit the lower spring and bless everything in between. I want a life that's not just contained within myself. Not that I can just simply go to bed at night and say I made it through the day and I think I stood pretty well for the Lord. But no, a life that's given so entirely to Christ that it's laid out as a blessing unto others. That's how I want to finish. But then notice the secret of his fruitfulness. That was personal attainment through faith in the living God. He won that mountain. He won it. The enemy had it, but he won it through faith in the living God. That's how you have fruitfulness. Listen, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know why it calls it the fruit of the Spirit? Because you and I can't produce it. The Holy Spirit has to produce it. And he wants to do that in our lives. And we'll do it as we yield to him. And here's the thing about it. That's the secret of fruitfulness. And you believe, you trust in the Lord. You rely upon him. You walk with him. Your faith is in him. You're receiving strength from him. Therefore, your life becomes a blessing because it's fruitful. And that fruit will bless others. This victory was won. Don't you suppose, now a lot of mamas and daddies here, and I'll guarantee you one thing, if you're not a mother or a father, you're a child. We can all agree on that, can't we? Everybody here is somebody's child, so you understand a little bit about it. Now here's the thing, I believe when Caleb as an old man went and he said, I want that mountain, the Lord said I could have it, and I'll take care of the enemy and all that. And don't you reckon him being an old man? Caleb didn't want it for himself anyway. He wanted it for that daughter. Now, he didn't know she was going to ask, but he was going to give it to her anyway. And isn't that amazing, friend, that these victories were won for the sake of others, and they should be in our life. But finally, Caleb was marked by unusual fellowship. You see, Hebron was a desirable place. The word Hebron means the seat of association, fellowship, love, and communion. That's where Abraham, hundreds of years earlier, had pitched his tent, had spoken with the Lord face to face, and there God had given the land to Abraham by covenant. You can study it out. The plains of Mamre, right there, Mount Hebron. It speaks of that in the journeyings of Abraham. And when 40 years earlier, Caleb had spied out the land. His heart fell in love with Mount Hebron. Now, Israel, to those people going there, some 2.5-3 million people, that was plenty of room, a good big land. Why, I wonder, did Caleb set his heart on this particular place? Well, Caleb knew what the word meant. Caleb knew the history of the place. He knew that Abraham had been there and that there God had appeared unto Abraham and Abraham had fellowship with the mighty God. You reckon those things might have been running through his mind? But there's one thing about it. Caleb wasn't going to settle for anything less than the place of fellowship, the place of love, the place of manifestation, the place of communion with God. He fought for that. He fought for it. He wasn't going to settle for it. That's what he wanted, that place of communion. Now, you can apply that spiritually. That'll be the desire of every Christian here tonight. Above everything else, above riches, above fame, above acknowledgement, all of that should be the desire to have fellowship with God, to experience his love, to commune with God day by day. There's nothing greater than that. Now, Hebron was a desirable place, but Hebron was also a defended place because the enemy was there. It mentioned the three sons of Anak, and these were giants, and they held the mountain. You think about that. It was the most powerful stronghold of the enemy, and yet Caleb prevailed. He prevailed. And I'm sure there are those who warned him, Caleb, are you sure you want to do that? Why don't you just wait till all Israel is settled and then we'll all get together? Caleb said, don't you bother about that. They said, but there's three giants up there, known as warriors. And I wonder if it went through Caleb's mind, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. I don't know what went through his mind, but he took care of those three giants. That is for sure. That's amazing, isn't it? I said that to say this. Today, Satan guards Hebron as nothing else. And I believe that he has his warrior set up around Hebron more than every other place we as Christians might involve ourselves in. The place of love, the place of fellowship and communion. I believe he guards it with all his powerful forces. He's willing to allow about anything for the Christian with little or no battle for it except close personal fellowship with the Lord. He'll allow you to go to church. He'll allow you to say your prayers. He'll allow you to read your Bible with very little protest. But I'll tell you, when you begin to call on the name of the Lord day by day with sincerity and your heart and spirit is involved in it, you have bucked up against the devil himself and he's going to try every way. I mean, think about it. It's not so hard, not so difficult in the morning or at the end of the day to read your Bible a little. But it's not so easy to pray, is it? It's so easy to get in the routine and no spirit, the Holy Ghost not really helping you. It's easy to get there, isn't it? You know why? Because Satan throws up all his forces against the place of fellowship, the place of communion with God. When it comes to this, comes to that, Satan brings out all his forces. Now, to finish well means finishing in such loving communion with God, a close personal and powerful fellowship with God. You might be saved, and if you are, you're going to heaven. That's all settled. But will you finish well? I'm going to heaven because when I was 9 years old, God marvelously saved me by His grace. But that's not enough. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. And the only way that I can do that is to have an unwavering faith, seeing God for who He is, how big He is, and how glorious He is, and then obtaining that force that will not diminish through the days. That's to be obtained day by day as the inward man is renewed. And if that is so, then I will finish well by having that unfailing fruitfulness. My life at the end will be a blessing to other people. And the only way that can be so is for me to have that unusual fellowship. That is that close personal communion with the Lord. Experiencing His love day by day in my heart. It's one thing to say I know God loves me. It's another thing altogether to experience that love washing over your soul every now and then. Isn't that wonderful? And it doesn't happen every time you pray or every time you read your Bible, but every now and then, the Spirit of God, as it were, passes by, and He doesn't use audible words, but somehow or another, He squeezes you and says, I love you. I love you. Sometimes when I'm on the mountain, He says it. Sometimes when I'm in the valley. Sometimes in between. But every now and then. And it seems like it's even more frequent as I get closer to home. He just lets me know every now and then that He loves me. But you have to have fellowship with Him in order to enjoy that blessing. Now, He drives home, Caleb does, the fact that we can finish well. But I leave with this thought. In reading the book of Joshua, we discover an unusual fact. The book speaks of this tribe and that tribe seeking their allotment. But Caleb brings it down to the individual level. God talks about in this book that they gave Joshua a certain inheritance, but through Caleb, He brings it down to the individual thing. Because like I said, it talks about He gave this tribe their portion, this tribe, and He spells it all out here in this verse. But when it comes to Caleb, God brings it down to the individual level. Now the church is going to triumph. And we trust that in Christ Jesus, the church will finish well. But the church is made up of individuals just like Caleb. Caleb was a man of like passions as we are. He just had a great perception of God, and everything went from there. Such a joy to be with you this week. Listen, you might be one of those here tonight that something is hindering you, something is bothering you, something is wrong in your life, or maybe it's just something you're trying to deal with day by day. I want you to believe that the Lord wants to help you. See, sometimes we get it in our mind that, well, this is my specific weakness. It's just something I'm going to have to live with. Listen, the devil told you that. We'll still be dealing with some things at the end of the line. But more than likely, that specific thing that's bothering you so much right now and weighing you down. Listen, Jesus has already won the victory over it 2,000 years ago. And he wants to give you that victory. We don't have any victory of our own. God doesn't break off a chunk of victory and put it in us. He just makes Christ real to us and the victory that's already won. You already have the victory, whether you're experiencing it or not. You already have it in Christ Jesus. But he wants you to experience it. Trust him. Trust him. Get out of the holes of the devil and realize that God wants to help you. He desires to help you. And if anyone here tonight needs to come down to this altar and bow, I hope you'll do. I know it's the last night, and I know that maybe you've come earlier this week. But if you need to come, then come while Brother Mark takes the service.